Katina, good morning.
Good morning.
Thanks very much for joining us here on The Daily. Now, this new update, it's set to allow users to share their locations with others, much like Apple's Find My Friends service, Messenger, Apple Maps, these kind of services. What differentiates Google Maps from these already established apps?
Nothing at all, actually, except for the fact that they're sharing, or they're claiming to share, real-time location. So it's literally, as we download the new app on our smartphone, and most smartphones have Google Maps, we basically then share the location by tapping on the share location feature. But something important to note is that Google was actually out there first in the market, would you believe, with something called Google Latitude in 2009 in November. So it's not like this hasn't been done before. They're the ones that actually launched this in 2009.
So the kind of concerns that we're talking about, tracking locations in real time, these are looking at some privacy and safety concerns as far as you're concerned.
Oh, totally. Consider children actually sharing their location with others, maybe strangers even. We did a study based on an ARC grant back in 2008, 2012, using Google Latitude in real time with different contexts. We looked at partners, we looked at parent-child relationships, we looked at that siblings, colleagues at work, and even stranger to stranger. And how would they feel? We actually did an experiment. We gave people two phones, we enabled the sharing, and we said pre-interview, intervention, post-interview, and we said, well, what do you think is happening here? And the first thing people said, well, it's kind of fun in the first few hours, and you think, wow, you know, I can check somebody's location. And then it gets a bit creepy over a few days. I think in the case of children in particular, there is a risk. Not when parents potentially are monitoring and looking at where their children are who are carrying a smartphone, but perhaps if that smartphone got in the wrong hands. And so I think not only is it a safety concern, but a trust concern. You don't want parents going, you cannot leave the house if you don't let me enable your location sharing feature, or a husband saying to a wife, you know, I don't know where you were at lunchtime because you turned off your location sharing, or you forgot your phone at the office. You know, where were you? And so you can quickly see this can escalate very quickly, depending on the context.
Because obviously we talk a lot about digital security and the like. So, yeah, I can see how that would be a good tool for parents being able to track, you know, younger children that might be let out of the house on their own. They don't seem to do that a lot with kids these days. But as you say, these things can be hacked, phones can be lost or stolen, and obviously that raises real questions.
Well, there's a false sense of security here. We're not teaching our kids independence. Of course, I understand that there are particular contexts and scenarios, especially in large crowds at a festival, where you'd like to know where to pick up your child. That's an obvious thing, and you can share your location between 15 minutes and 3 days with this tool, or you can say it's indefinite sharing, and Google will send you a reminder that you are actually sharing your location with another person that you choose on the Gmail system or beyond, even Apple phones. It doesn't matter who you're sharing with. You have the control to identify it. But what is it also doing, I think, to dysfunctional relationships that are in existence? It causes more dysfunction when we say, I need a tool to trust you because I don't trust you. And basically, we know from studying distrust in relationships that the more you require some kind of mechanism whereby to track somebody, the more you're escalating the distrust, saying, well, I don't trust you. You know, it's not a positive reaffirmation. You know, we didn't have phones 30 years ago. The world wasn't so different in terms of physicality and geography. What did we do back then that was so different to today? You know, it was the art of communication. I'd leave in the morning, I'd leave a note, I'd tell somebody this is where I'd be. But of course these tools are heralding in greater convenience if they're used in the right way.
So kind of one of the ways technology really shapes our perception rather than sort of, you know, rather than fitting a need that we have already, it kind of shapes its own need for our day-to-day lives.
Totally. I think we think we're more secure, but there's no difference in security because I have a phone. You know, what happens as well if we obfuscate our location, and we did a lot of study with this respect, either when it's done deliberately, so I change my Google location and I say I obfuscate, I'm actually somewhere else rather than where I'm supposed to be. And I might say I fix it to my office, so, you know, that keeps the partner quiet. But in actual fact, at lunchtime, I'm going for a run. And that obfuscation is quite possible to the nearest suburb, to a locked location. I know one of my students, as we were doing an experiment, locked their location for 128 days just to prove a point when the GPS was wrong. And I believed the GPS, not the student, with respect to their location. You know, I said, I know you're at a customer client site. Don't worry. And she said, well, what are you talking about? And before she had a chance to say anything, I hung up. But in actual fact, she was sitting at the office here in Wollongong Uni. but it was showing her in Taraji. But she was actually physically here. So she taught me a lesson. And for 128 days, she was locked to the office 24/7. So we can't have that false sense of security because we rely on a piece of tech, because GPS is not 100% accurate. Those sensors can give you wrong readings.
Mm. Well, absolutely extraordinary. Katina, very much appreciate you joining us, having a little bit of a chat with us about this one.
Thank you so much.